Well, Judy Gold's been making me laugh, and she's going to keep making me laugh. So keep listening to her, because she is making me laugh. And we got the news. We got good sports coming your way. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to wager on them with our exclusive partner, BetOnline.ag. Massive UFC weekend this weekend. NASCAR, Formula One's in full swing. There's plenty of stuff to get in on out there now. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, Madden games, NBA, 2K, and the UFC daily, plus future odds on everything you can imagine. Season win totals. Yeah, we think the Rams are going to do this year. Division odds and every league championship. Visit betonline.ag. Use your mobile device to join with promo code podcast1 for your welcome bonus. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, podcast1. And don't forget, promo code podcast1 for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this didn't last too long. Former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen was taken back into custody Thursday morning and is now at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn after the Federal Bureau of Prisons said Cohen violated the conditions of his home confinement. How did he do that? Well, reports are that he was seen at a restaurant in Manhattan, which raised concerns that he was in violation of his home confinement terms. If that name rings a bell, he was the former attorney of President Trump, who was imprisoned last year after pleading guilty to several charges. And he was released to home confinement, but he just couldn't stay home. It was time to go out and get a meal.
Can't so do that back. during a pandemic. You know what I mean?
Ballsy.
Like, I'm not a big fan of hanging around at the home, but if you gave me an ankle bracelet and told me I had to, I'd hope there was a pandemic. You know what I mean?
Nothing else to do.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you can't play softball. Good, it's hailing outside. Fine. I'll stay in.
Exactly. Exactly.
You see the photos of him at this fancy Upper East Side restaurant. It's like, what are you fucking doing? Seriously? Yeah.
Expensive meal.
Why? And by the way, I do like the, I don't know if these kind of snitches get stitches as well, like the super white collar snitches. Like, who dropped a dime? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, somebody had to be sitting in that restaurant.
Well, people were posting it. It was in the New York Post, and people were posting it on Instagram. That's why you have no fucking privacy anymore, you know?
Jesus Christ.
And you got out. Like, you now it's like you were supposed to be in there until what, at least next year, next November. They got you out because of the pandemic. So sit your ass home. You got the lucky lottery ticket.
Yeah, oh, there it is. Him.
Yeah. This is why I always wish I had a twin brother so I could just fucking plausibly deny everything all the time. Like, oh, yeah, the guy got a little handsy at summer camp. That wasn't me. Kurt. You know that guy.
Your defense. Wasn't me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At the Fine Bistro enjoying his freedom. That's Kurt. That's not
I
me.
I wish.
Yeah.
Really? And a really expensive restaurant. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he wasn't home long, and we'll see what happens to him. I've been very curious about this question, so I thought I'd throw it in since we're talking a little pandemic stuff. Judy, as I'm sure you know, people traveling to New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut from 8 additional states will now have to quarantine for 14 days upon entering, bringing the total number of states on the governor's travel advisory list right now to 19. And that's, I mean, you can look them up. It's 19 states that if you get there, you have to quarantine. And my thought was, well, how the hell would they know? And it was very hard to get an answer to that. I had to do some digging, but I found a few things, like when you have to quarantine to go to Hawaii or quarantine to go to Chicago. This is all I could piece together because I was like, what is this pomp and circumstance? Who cares? Well, they do care. And a spokesperson in Hawaii said the neighbors are all turning people in, violating people with, you know, Airbnbs or people visiting. That's led to at least 20 arrests. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says their state is using information gathered from basically the manifest from your airline. So they will track you that way. He says they do random checks off that database from the plane. They can ask you on Facebook to show your surroundings of your room, just randomly make sure you're in a residence. Chicago hasn't been as specific. They did mention a violation as a misdemeanor, which could lead to fines and up to a year in jail. So at least there's some kind of answer.
Well,
that's insane.
I dropped off Ben at Tulane at New Orleans, not last weekend, the weekend before. And we had to fill out a piece of paper before we got back to New York, saying where we were, how long we were there, you know, every place we've, and the flight, the, you know, at the gate when they're making their announcement, the one was like, you have to get your paper at Governor Cuomo. And she was, it was like the disdain in her voice is making everyone fill out this paper. This is on order of Governor Cuomo. And, you know, they're all sitting like, fucking cover your face with that, like putting your mask on your chin. Everyone's an asshole.
True.
Wait, is Tulane the Waves? Is that the team?
Green Waves.
Green Waves. Yeah. Seems random to me.
I don't think we're allowed to say this anymore, but I had friends who went to Tulane many years ago, and they're Jewish, as I am, and they called it Jewlane. Is it still?
Yeah, they call it Jewlane. Yeah.
Is it still a very Jewish school?
Oh, it's Jew. And there's like every like street is named after Jew Wiener, Jew, every like the Jew Health Center, the Jewy Grill, the Jewy Jew, the Jewy Stadium. Yeah, it's all Jewy.
Okay, just making sure it's still there.
Really? Right. How did that happen?
I have no idea.
How?
Well, I know.
Now I'm scared. How's the basketball team?
Ben's the only Jew on the basketball team.
Okay, good.
They keep great records.
Yeah. Really good records, yeah. There he is!
Wow, look at that.
Wow.
That's my baby.
Wow, see?
Great shot.
He's nice. Number 32, though, not number 25. That was
last year or something?
That was last year in prep school. That was his.
Oh, but geez, that's like a playing card. Nice. All right, what else you got, Gina Grad?
Some pretty sad news. And again, this is as we're recording this because sometimes things will pop up when they're sort of breaking. But the Ventura County, that's here in California, the Sheriff's Department searched Wednesday afternoon for Naya Rivera. She's the actress from Glee. She was the cheerleader with the dark hair. Heather Morris, who we've had in, it was kind of her counterpart in the show. The Glee actress and singer disappeared in Lake Piru, a Southern California lake. She's presumed dead by drowning. What's worse is her 4-year-old son, who had a little flotation device on, was discovered unharmed in a rented pontoon boat, just floating adrift. He reportedly told authorities his mother went swimming without a life vest and never came back. Scuba teams have been, helicopters, drones, everyone's been looking. At this point, there is no word. And just to kind of further the sort of tragicness of this show Glee, Corey Monteith has died. Mark Salling, who had a lot of issues, he died. And Naya Rivera's son is being reunited with his father, Ryan Dorsey. They divorced in 2018, but really, really out of nowhere.
Did she?
Sad.
Is she? Do you think she went out to commit suicide?
I mean, why would you bring your 4-year-old and let him adrift in a boat? I don't.
Nancy
know.
Grace said not to rule out foul play.
Ooh,
Please don't. It's too soon.
What, Nancy? Sorry, foul play. What could possibly happen to me?
I know.
It's either she went to kill herself or she went out to go boating with her kid and maybe had a couple of cocktails or something and went into the...
I don't know why, Adam. I don't know why you're always putting this on the victim. When I say foul play, I'm not saying that she did anything. I'm saying we are going to find out. Nancy Grace, being a former attorney, we are going to find out what happened to this poor girl, and it's usually the husband.
But the husband wasn't there on the boat, Nancy.
Okay, technically she doesn't have a husband, but I'm just saying usually it's the husband.
They said the kid was sleeping in the boat.
Oh, God.
Well, what about Natalie Holloway? Did they ever solve that one?
We we are this close, Adam, to finding out where that poor girl went, and I don't want you to give up on me like I'm not going to give up on Natalie.
Natalie'd be 87 years old today. Is that true, Nancy Grace?
And a very happy birthday to Natalie, whom we will never give up on. By the way, I follow Nancy on Instagram, and she just did an RV tour of America with her family, and it's amazing.
Oh.
And
it's good?
It's great. They went to the Grand Tetons. They went to Yosemite. The kids don't seem super happy to be in the pictures, but I love Nancy Grace. I truly
Wait,
love.
So Glee is like the bat. So they have three dead people and a bitch. So
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Jane Lynch. Leah. Who's the bitch?
Leah Michele. They're all saying she's a big bitch. Horrible.
A nightmare to work with.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Sorry, Jane. I know she's in the tribe. Sorry.
Let's turn things around.
Different
focus
tribe,
on a hero.
Yeah.
This is crazy, and God bless football players, which, you know, I just don't have a reason to say that every day. This, and I'll show you the video in a second. A former high school football player dove to catch a child, a baby, who was dropped from the third floor of a burning building. And this video is everywhere. I'll show you in a second. Philip Blanks is a former wide receiver for Kalamazoo Central High School in Michigan. He was a U.S. Marine. Ran out apparently with no shoes on. He was visiting a friend at this apartment complex, raced over to this other section and dove to catch this child. There's a guy you can see in the picture standing there, maybe going to do something, but he said, I didn't trust that this guy could catch this kid. And it wasn't a perfect catch, but it was as close as they were going to get. They said the baby was like twirling like a helicopter in the air, fell, and I'm going to show it to you because it is quite heroic.
Third story. Yeah.
Just flames just shooting out, and there goes the baby.
Oh my God.
The head was sort of cradled in his elbow. So no damage there. Ran away. The really sad stuff is, then they'll just keep showing it. There was an 8-year-old daughter. She was saved by another Good Samaritan. The mother did not make it out of the building, but she threw the baby, and the baby was caught.
Well, first things first, that was great. But then he spiked the kid and started a dance. And that's when the damage took over. It was his instincts as a ball player.
Right.
You can't control the instincts.
Celebrating.
Boys,
you've just mentioned three kids who are going to have major emotional problems.
Yeah.
The one in the boat and the two that were, you know, in the fire.
And if we could have fucking combined the two, we would have been fine. But no, we had the fire and we had the water. And they shall not meet. It's unfortunate. Yeah,
changed gears, please.
Yes, yeah, let's talk ahead. About someone who lived. The thing that I'd heard about the kid on the boat, which I don't know, it was some solace to it. They said when they found the kid was sleeping on the boat. Like at least they weren't
not crying
or freaking out, or who knows how that worked. But anyway, all right.
Yeah.
Did I not just say that?
Did you? Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. You're like my kids. You don't listen to a fucking thing I say.
Well, let's switch some major gears because I think we need it. Let's talk about something very important. Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah.
This is a restaurant in Southern California with an iconic, we may have the mascot, this iconic little mascot with this little boy and a red and white checker overalls with a little dipsy-do hairstyle.
Judy knows she dated him in college.
I'm a lesbian.
I know, but it's still the joke worked. It still is a joke.
All right.
Man, okay.
So recently they have an arrival of a new chicken sandwich to the menu. Well, who cares? Well, guess what? The reason why this is a big deal is because to celebrate the new item, the restaurant dusted off a forgotten character from its history, Dolly. Dolly is replacing Big Boy as the restaurant's official mascot now. Fox News reports that Dolly was a character featured in the Big Boy comic book series from the 1950s. She'll be the new mascot. While the change is in the mascot appears to be a simple promotion for the sandwich, a spokesperson said they're implying a more permanent change to take place. So maybe it'll be Bob's Dolly.
I was tweeting about this like 2 weeks ago about tearing down. Oh, you can find that tweet, Maxipata, but it's funny. I was talking about this from a several weeks ago, and turns out they got to it, although it was self-imposed. The mob didn't get to the statue of Bob's big boy. Bob got to it.
Well, you don't know that. It could have been inside pressure.
Could have been.
It would have been funnier if you said Judy knows that's her kid's sperm donor.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been funnier.
I'll tweak that one.
Try that next time.
Yeah. For your son, 6 foot eight.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the punch up. Let's see.
Yeah, big boy.
Yeah, if you want to take down a statue that is beloved by white people and throw it in the river, I got your next target. And it was Bob's big boy. Yeah, that was a few weeks ago, right? Well, so it turns out Bob is gone.
He's out.
What is the point of that? A Bob's big boy?
Of them doing it.
I think a lot of people go, we're not in the conversation. They're always talking about In-N-Out, or they're talking about Chick-fil-A, like good or for bad.
Right,
there's always something going on, and I think you have some kid who works for you who goes, I'm going to get us in the conversation because we're not getting in the. There's probably a part of them that secretly hoped a mob came to tear down Bob's Big Boy and spray paint Black Lives Matter or something, but they're getting no traction, and they're, you know, any, I mean, you know, everyone wants good publicity, but in lieu of good publicity, publicity in general versus no publicity. I mean, everyone goes nuts over Chick-fil-A a few years ago, gay marriage, the owner, whatever's going on, but you pull in front of the Chick-fil-A, there's a line around the block, you know, like.
Well, then they should change Dolly's name to Karen, and then
that's
right. Get a lot of publicity.
That's right. That's a good point.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well, you both mentioned Rosie O'Donnell at the beginning of the show, and so interested in your thoughts on this. Rumor has it Ellen DeGeneres' talk show is on the chopping block. This comes amid all the reports that ratings are down and growing accusations of her not being very nice behind the scenes. The Ellen DeGeneres show reportedly fell 14% in the ratings to a new season, season 17 low, according to The Sun. And fueling the downturn are stories of the star's rudeness. A few months ago, Ellen became the subject of a viral Twitter thread that called her the meanest person alive. Since then, several guests have accused her of treating them badly. For now, her production company denies that it's being canceled in any way. And it's been on the air since 2003, but the word is out.
Judy, you must know Ellen.
Well, you know, we all knew about Bill Cosby, and a lot of us know that, you know, I've heard the stories. I've spoken to people who've worked there, and, you know, first of all, she dug her own grave because, you know, she's in her palatial estate while I'm stuck in my fucking apartment in Manhattan. Well, I was here in my house, but whatever. You know, and she's talking about she feels like she's in jail.
Right.
And meanwhile, I mean, there are people that are stuck in there are people living on the street, living in the subway, you know, it's, I don't know.
She's in a small resort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've said a million times, because you do everyone's show, Judy, you know this from experience. When you do people's shows, daytime show, late night show, whatever it is, you walk onto the establishment, into the establishment, onto the property, whatever, you enter, and there's a vibe that immediately starts coming off of the people who work there. And if you do the Tonight Show with Jay Leno and you come walking out, there's a very laid back vibe. People are laid back. You go on to other shows like Letterman or Ellen, and there's a very panicked vibe. You get it from the person who greets you in the parking lot, to the person that's in your green room, to the person that, you know, hair and makeup, it permeates the place. It's
all from the top.
It's like when you're a kid and you'd go to your friend's house and both parents were smokers. You know what I mean? You just open the front door. It's like, ah, there's that smoke. It's coming from the carpet. It's coming from the dog. And it's like they didn't have to be smoking at the time or even home.
Right.
They're just a smoking couple, you know, or the weird religious friends, you know, and there's some that's that way, or grandma staying with us friends, you know, for 2 years. Like, you walk into the house, the door opens, you walk in and you go, okay, see, I get an idea of which way the wind is blowing here. And when you walk onto Jimmy Kimmel's show, you don't get that feeling. But you definitely get that feeling. And that feeling goes from laid back and cool and chillax to everyone is scared shitless.
Right.
And they don't say, I'm scared shitless, I'm your segment producer. They just are scared. And you get it. You get it. And you start to watch everyone and they seem scared.
What was the story, Adam, about don't mention meat?
Well, the other thing then they start doing is they go, you're not going to touch Dave or talk to Dave about, or like, you get a long list of like, Ellen doesn't like it when, you know, she doesn't like exhalers. So you're not planning on breathing out. Like, you get a long, like, here's what, and you realize, oh, that's what scared people do. Scared people do that. And when you do Jimmy's show or you do Leno's show, you don't get
Stephen Colbert's show. That's a great show to do too.
I've never done that show, so I don't want to talk out of turn, but their shows take on personality. Howard Stern's show has a personality, not good or bad, or Howard's is good, I should say. But the point is there's a personality that the show takes, and the show takes usually what the boss's personality is like. And so
that's the same on sitcoms. When you go on sets of shows where you're doing a guest spot, that it's the same thing. They're nice. The stars are either nice. There's nice feeling or shitty feeling, you know?
Right.
So comes from the top. Look at Matt Getz and all these people. They're all fucking assholes.
What's Shrapnel? But you feel it, right? So when you walk, and by the way, everyone else is living with the smoker. So their sweater smells like smoke and they don't even know it. But when you walk in, you go, oh, something's palpable here. And there's been a few shows over the years that I've walked onto and I've went, oh, what's going on here? Why is everyone so scared? And so when I did Ellen's show, that was my sense. I was like, what's everyone so concerned? We're doing a fun time, daytime, whatever show. Why am I feeling this? And then later on, I think I spoke to a former writer of hers, and he just kind of said, it's a fucking shit show. Like, no. And so
I can't believe she had you on. You don't seem like the type of, you know.
It was a one-time mistake.
milquetoast kind of.
Yeah, I probably did it. I may have even done it more than once. I don't know. Look, wow. I was on The View, for Christ's sake. Look, I've been on everything. You know, you stick around long enough. Every show but Colbert. God damn it.
Well, I can tell you about it, what it was like.
What's the vibe? No, but this vibe smoker thought analogy's right. Am I correct, Judy? It's done everything?
Perfect. It's absolutely, you do. You get a feeling and you see how people are either happy or they're fearful for their jobs or like they're going to get in trouble if you fuck up, if a guest fucks up. It's like, it's horrible.
And there's also this thing too where like if you say to your segment producer, like if you say to your segment producer, you know, I was going to talk about the Christmas vacation actually, but actually I want to talk about something else. They'll go, and you go, yeah, just tell Jay that we're going to flip the script a little. If they just go, okay, yeah, I'll go tell him, and they just walk out, then that's fine. If they start getting nervous, like, what do you want to do? That's scared. That's
an indication. Jay Leno, I did his show a few times, and it's like, hey, how you doing? It's like, okay, we're going to have a good time. It was so easy.
Yes, it doesn't have to be that complicated or that difficult. And also, as someone who used to host shows, I realize making your guest feel uptight or confused or nervous or anxious before they go out and perform is not good for your show.
No one wins.
So yeah, just tell them to have fucking fun out there and relax. We're glad to have you. Say whatever you want, then walk out. I've always felt that way. But anyway, So I don't know. Maybe the chickens are coming home to roost for young Ellen. But, you know, she's got to be worried.
But see, it's double bad because she, you know, be kind. Proselytizing, like, be kind, be nice to everyone, you know, then it wouldn't, it'd be like, okay, she's difficult, whatever.
I also, in my realm of my constant evaluation and licking my finger and holding it up in the air, I was at a wedding with a world-class band. I mean, a world-class band, and everyone danced the night away, and Ellen never danced the entire night. And I thought, wait a minute, you don't love dancing.
Yeah.
you love people thinking you love dancing.
Right, right, right.
I have that relationship with my kids. I don't love my kids. I love people thinking I love, oh, shit, I've said too much. All right, let me hit LegalZoom, and then we'll get on to our next story. It's a new world out there, lots of new challenges. If you need some legal help and you want to overcome your challenges, might I suggest LegalZoom? Our own Mark Garagos sends people to LegalZoom all the time, and he actually uses LegalZoom himself because it's a faster, easier, more efficient way to take care of a lot of your legal questions without getting that big fat billable hour. So you want to start solutions for COVID-19 and all the other situations out there. You want to protect your family. You want to do a will or living trust. You want to start a business with a DBA, LLC, or nonprofit. You can get started. Do it all online. You don't have to leave your house. They have a network of attorneys that can provide advice. Since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you won't have to leave your home and get charged a billable hour, right, Dawson?
Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of some important things you need to get done. That's LegalZoom.com, LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
All right, what else we got, Gina Gran?
Well, I'll tell you what's not going or changing in any way, at least right now. The car used during the first season of The Dukes of Hazzard, which ran from 1979 to 1985, is currently in the Volo Auto Museum in Crystal Lake, Illinois. The 1969 Dodge Charger, known, of course, as the General Lee, sports that Confederate flag on the top. And Volo director Brian Graham says the General Lee display is not going anywhere. Graham says the vehicle is a symbol of television history. This comes as, of course, Confederate flags and statues are being taken down everywhere. He says he hasn't received a complaint about the General Lee, but instead has received supportive words from people who appreciate the museum not being swayed by public opinion.
They also, everyone always talks about the General Lee's offensive roof flag, but they have an offensive horn. Too. Do you know General Lee has an offensive horn? It's not just visual. It's audible. It's the land of cotton. Look away. What is that song?
Dixieland.
Dixieland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dixie.
Land of Dixie.
Right.
Land of Dixie. They really leaned into that shit. I mean, by the way, that I think that whole thing was probably filmed in Simi Valley, California, or something. Like nothing was in the South. But yeah, see if you can find their horn, because the horn needs to be silenced as well. Go after the horn. Well, I don't know. Or maybe we could play the lunch truck La Cucaracha horn, like next to it, to try to drown it out. You know, we'll have a little horn off there.
Horn off.
What is that? Is that song offensive? Is Dixieland offensive? It's got to be offensive, right?
Wasn't there a story about University of Tennessee changing the song or something? Because that's their like fight song, right?
Oh, there must be. Yeah. Well, I wish I was down in the land of cotton, old times there and not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. It sounds like very pro South, right?
Yeah, what is look away, look away? Like, don't see what you're doing to all your fucking racism? Is that what you're looking away from?
That's the subtext, yes. I don't know. I don't know what look away. Dawson?
I don't know, but I remember a few weeks ago, someone called and said that their favorite show was The Outlaw. The favorite Clint Eastwood movie was The Outlaw, Josie Wales. In that movie, if you were whistling Dixie, that's what you would be doing in the South, so that if you came across people that might not know which side you're on, you'd be whistling Dixie and they know you're from the South. And then if not, there was the Union, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." That was the North one.
Oh.
That's
all right. You got the horn, Max Panna? Oh, man. I just got fucking triggered.
Wow, I can't believe you remember that.
What do you mean? If I ever time my phone rings, that's what it sounds like.
So do we
I hate
have
it
to
when I'm with
saying...
my black friends. Sorry.
Should we stop saying you ain't just whistling Dixie?
I was going to say,
I never knew what it meant.
I never fucking said it in my life. So
you're not from the Midwest.
Yeah.
It was a big one in Kansas.
I think the term whistling Dixie means you're faking it.
Oh.
And so if you were a Union guy and you're going down to the South and you don't want to get killed by some good old boys, you'd be whistling Dixie.
Oh. Wow, Dawson.
There you go, Dawson.
Dramaturgist.
Yeah. Oh. Turns out the paddy wagon was named after Irish Americans.
You don't say.
Go ahead. One more, June.
All right. Well, Johnny Depp is back in the news and he's fighting back. His libel suit against Britain's The Sun began on Tuesday, and a number of things were revealed. The actor suing after the tabloid described him as a wife beater in 2018 in an article. Johnny took the stand to deny hitting Amber Heard or any other woman, claiming it was inconceivable to him because of his Southern upbringing, and added that the sociopathic actress was the abusive one. Johnny also made the claim that he decided to divorce Amber after she or one of her friends pooped in their bed. As a prank or a joke, he thinks. In a written statement, he said it was the final straw in a troubled marriage.
Yeah. I try not to combine the straw and poop, because then you start going weird scat German.
That's right.
But that's a whole, there's a whole part of the dark web that just is devoted to straws and poop. But he is getting crazier. He seems insane. Now, I saw footage of him.
Doesn't make him a wife beater.
No, he's fine. He's a delight. But
shits in there someone's bed. Like, who goes to someone's house and shits in their bed?
Well, someone who doesn't want to be invited back for a sleepover. Number one, movie night is now canceled for that guest. They shan't be back. I said shan't. Now, he is starting to look a little... Remember when Michael Jackson started to go crazy and he started to look crazy? Like, even though you didn't know what was going on, his movements. You know what
Something
I mean?
Oh, I thought he meant his dress, because that's been going on for nigh on 2 decades.
He was walking into the courthouse, and I saw on TMZ last night, and he just looked nutty. And it could have, part of it is the dress, but it's also, it's kind of, it's getting too thinny, the gait, like just too thin, the gait seems, it's just, you know how people are, we don't want to admit it, but I mean is, we're all wired, every time I walk my dog, there's another dog coming down the horse trail, I'm profiling the dog, right? Is it a friendly dog? What's it look like? Is its tail wagging? Does it seem weird or angry? Is it old? My dog's 110 pounds. I'll fucking break that dog's hip. I'd be too excited, you know? Like, so you see this dog coming toward you 100 feet away, and you're running this process, right? Like, what kind of dog is going to bite my dog? What's the owner look like? They uptight? They're cool? What are we doing? And I think we're all kind of that way. And when you see somebody walking in the street or anywhere, you kind of do that thing where it's like, does that person have a problem or an issue? Mm-hmm. Or is that person drunk? Or they have a disability or the mental whatever? Like, that's all we do is we just scan, like the Terminator. And I was just watching Depp, like, walking into the courthouse. And it just seemed like he's going a little nutty.
Put a mask over. Hey, guys, Johnny, listen.
Kind of reminded me when Michael Jackson used to, like, hang the kid off the balcony. Maybe he had that young black football player underneath the balcony out of shot, and we never really knew. Maybe that guy was just waiting. Maybe it was the same guy.
Hand back off. Yeah.
Right, but he would do weird things. He'd come out of the courtroom and, like, do his thing, like turn around and wave everyone and then scurry away. Like it just, I don't know. It's starting to feel that way with me. That's all.
I want to go back to the Johnny Depp that got a lot of press. I want to, I don't know, whenever, maybe 5 years ago, whenever one of the big Pirates movies came out, of him fully dressed, fully in character at the children's hospital. Can we just go back to that, Johnny
Yes,
Depp?
Yes, that's right.
That was fantastic.
Yes, I agree. All right, let's. So he's suing the Sun?
Yeah.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall if Johnny Depp went into Mark Garagos's office and went like, all right, Mark, I would like to use you because I'm thinking about suing the Sun. And Mark would go, I'm in. What are we talking about? Melanoma here? What do they do? Dry mouth, cotton mouth, whatever. I'll start filing.
You got a redness situation, you're staring into it.
Yeah.
Too bright.
What'd you do? Fall asleep on the beach? I think we can do this. I'm pretty sure we can get some money out of these people.
They're long dead.
They'll settle. I've known planets to settle, or stars, or whatever they are. They'll settle.
They
don't want the publicity. They want this
He's
kind
the
of
lawyer to the stars.
Yeah, having to explain them, it's not the Sun. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, LifeLock. Cyber criminals are not letting this COVID-19 thing stop them from committing tax fraud. That's right. People are getting an extension on their taxes to July 15th, I believe. And now there's a rise in tax-related identity fraud. Remember, the IRS will not contact you directly by email, text message, or other online platforms. Identity thieves are getting smarter. Look, they're horrible, lazy people. They don't want to break your window. They don't want to get shot with rock salt. They don't want to get bit by your dog. They want to rip you off from their home, and that's what identity thieves do, and that's why you need LifeLock, the leader in identity theft protection. Am I right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock and see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Well, Judy Gold, that was fun. Yes.
I had fun.
Yeah, let's do it again. I love.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Our pleasure. Yes, I can say that. When they come for comedians, we're all in trouble. I agree wholeheartedly. It's available July 28th on Amazon, but go ahead and pre-order it. And while you're there, go ahead and grab my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's back in stock, and pre-order Judy's, and let the mirth begin. Podcast is called Kill Me Now with Judy Gold as well. New episodes every week on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. And her website, judygold.com. Go there. Probably have some dates coming up sooner than later, I'm hoping. And mazel tov to your son over there, Tulane.
Thank you. Thank you.
I will. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. I'm going to be on Match Game this Sunday, 10 o'clock on ABC with Cheryl Hines and Mark Duplass and Lonnie Love and Nick Swisher and Allie Wentworth and, of course, Alec Baldwin as well. So go check that out. And go to AdamCarolla.com because I got dates coming up. Dallas, Texas, Addison Improv, July 24th and 25th. And we got a bunch of dates up there. So check that out. Till next time. Adam Carolla for Judy Gold and Jordan Harbinger and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
Stick around. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla return for Good Sports right after this.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday edition of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Go back and listen to the Wednesday and Thursday editions if you want to hear some hot NFL talk in the middle of summertime. They're going to camp, and they're scheduled to be in camp in about a month there, Ace. Let's hope it all goes off without any 19 getting in the way or otherwise, but do go there. We talk Cam Newton to the Patriots and otherwise. Ace, how are you, by the way?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, last week the news came out that Kurt Warner has I'm not sure I should know this, but I apologize. I'm not sure if he's producing the picture himself, but it is a biopic of Kurt Warner. And so now they have found the guy who is going to play Kurt Warner. Have you seen who it is?
No.
Kind of a good look, a pretty good look-alike, if nothing else. Zachary Levy. Levy.
Oh, Zach Levi. I think it's
Levi.
I think it's Levi. Yeah, Gary
says
yes.
We got it as a society. I mean, if it's spelled the same, that's the first thing we do. When you become king, Ace, that's the one. Like, if it's spelled the same,
right,
among words, that's the first thing we address, is the one pronunciation.
Right.
You cannot do that. But anyway, it's Zach Levi, who was Shazam and other stuff there, but at least looks like him. And then a week or two before that, we learned that it is all but certain that they're going to make the Mike Tyson movie that Jamie Foxx has been preparing for. And he does kind of look like him when you blur your eyes, when he gets kind of jacked up. Jamie Foxx, it's funny because when you hear that, you think, well, he must tower over the real Mike Tyson, which is an inversion of the way it usually is. It's like when you have an actor play an athlete, it's usually like, yeah, they look shrimpy compared to the real deal. This is the reverse of that, I guess, although I don't know how tall Jamie Foxx is. Will Smith played Muhammad Ali, of course. Who would play Adam Carolla?
Gilbert Godfrey or Greg Brady? Who's the guy who played Greg Brady? I think we could
get Barry. Or is that the reverse? Or would Adam Carolla have to play an athlete? Is that because and how would that work?
I don't know, but I was thinking about, you know,
Barry Williams.
Yeah, there was always a big deal that Kurt Warner, he worked at a supermarket. Now he's on an NFL team. So, but is it ever, he was a very respected defense attorney who worked in the Charlotte community. Like, of course these guys worked at Super. He was driving a FedEx truck. Right. He was a jock who's out of work. He was a commercial airline pilot for Delta. And now, of course he worked at a fucking supermarket. He's 23. And he was a bad student. That's what all these guys did.
About that. No, he didn't leave his post as James Bond's most trusted ally in the British Secret Service thing. No, he
was one of the most respected ear, nose, and throat doctors in the Pasadena Glendale area. He left it all behind.
It is funny with Kurt Warner. Apparently, by all accounts, I've talked to him about this too. Like, it doesn't come through on the football field for some reason, but apparently he is a gangbusters basketball player, like borderline NBA level kind of a player, and like is more athletic than anybody he brings over. He has some manse with a big indoor gym. Picking up on something last week, Ace, that I understand.
Oh, well, hold on a second. So we have Kurt, who's going to, I say his wife should be played by Dick Vermeil. They had the exact same haircut, many of the same facial qualities. Hey, David, I'm not kidding. I know he's a little old.
I think she's more stoic than he, though, right?
Yeah, he cries all the time.
Very emotional. Very emotional.
Yeah, you're right. She is more stoic. But they went to the same fantastic Sams. They had a lot of the same qualities physically. And I've heard Vermeil could act. That's what I've heard. That's all I know.
I look forward to that experimental kind of casting job. I want to hear now, Ace, about the birthdays. Let's do the birthday cocktail party. And this came up last week when we were kibitzing about, of course, the who you share your birthday with. And some people have weighed in here.
Let's just lay the ground rules down.
Go ahead.
Your birthday obviously has 5, 6, 7 notable people. Everyone has 7, 6, 7 people whose names you will recognize. They may not be A-listers. They may have done horrible, horrific things. They may be serial killers or Nazi war criminals, but there will be recognizable names that were born on the same day you were born. And the question is let's turn that into a cocktail party. Like those, you know, there's a commercial for tequila where they have the guy that, oh, Abe Lincoln's at the party and Chuck Berry's up on stage. He's doing the duck walk. And one of those stupid tequila commercials where everyone mm-hmm. is famous is Madame Curie's at the party. It's that party. Who wins? Like, who is Sheck? Sheck's kind of the leader in the clubhouse right now. We've had some other interesting offerings as well. And by the way, you can't deduct points because the person was infamous. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry.
No,
Charles Manson still makes it an interesting cocktail party.
That's right. Yes. Right. I agree with you. And just as a reminder, I go Shia LaBeouf, Jacques Cousteau, Adrian Barbeau, Joe Montana, Vince Lombardi. It's a Gene Wilder. I mean, it's unbeatable.
It's amazing.
Let's not make it into a competition because you're not going to defeat that one. But I'm going to try here for you, Ace. February 17th. Have you looked into that one?
Hold on. We're looking at Dick Vermeil and, Kurt Warner's wife. Some similarities there physically.
Lovely woman. A lovely woman.
Sorry, go ahead.
So February 17th. Here we go. This one doesn't really have any dead weight to it, but it's kind of interesting.
Whose birthday is that?
February 17th.
I know, but we're just picking out random days, or do people send
I'm just trying to blend. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I cherry picked some to try and it's somebody's birthday out there.
Right. But nobody sent you a name and said,
no, I got a bunch, but I kind of cherry picked the ones that I thought might make fun. Michael Jordan, Jim Brown. That, by the way, Jim Brown, the stuff about like Ray Rice can't be in the league and everything else. And, you know, I sign off on his, obviously on the awful thing he did, but Jim Brown continues to be lionized as this seminal figure. He threw a woman off a balcony. Why does that never come up? It's very strange, but okay. Jim Brown, Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, Larry, the Cable Guy. See, now that we're blending some interesting conversation, Michael Bay, Ed Sheeran, and Paris Hilton.
That'd be good. It'd probably be worth it just to get Billy Joe and Jim Brown together to explain to each other whom each other were. Because there's no way either one of those guys would recognize one another at a cocktail party, right?
That's why it's going to be such a stimulating event. You know, it's going to get to know everybody around. Name, maybe my name is, this is who I am.
I don't think it doesn't beat your party.
No. Heaven forbid. No. But it does bring up something that you mentioned several weeks ago that I want to get to here. Here's a good one. December 25th. It's a important day on our Judeo-Christian calendar, as you may know. It gives us Jesus, Justin Trudeau, Jimmy Buffett, Humphrey Bogart, and the recently arrested Ghislaine Maxwell, the ne'er-do-well companion of Jeffrey. What do you think of that party?
It might be good just to get her drunk and really squeeze her for information. You know what I mean?
who's most likely to fall prey to her ongoing scam? Trudeau, Buffett, Bogart, Christ.
And that is a coin toss. All right, one more, Sheck.
November 12th, Ryan Gosling, Anne Hathaway, Neil Young, Sammy Sosa, Russell Westbrook, and to go with one more athlete plus ne'er-do-well, Tanya Harding.
It's an interesting, it looks good on the roster, you know, on your lineup board, but the conversation would be difficult, I feel like.
I hear you, but I brought that one up because it does refer back to something you said, like I said a month ago, that Tanya Harding now, what do we make of everything, every moment of man's recorded history prior to 2020? Like you mentioned that, like, how do we make sense of how awful anything was before 2020? And Tanya Harding must be like, what I did was nothing compared to this year.
Right.
Like, you know, now doesn't she say, can't we get a time machine and go back? All right. It wasn't great what I did, but I've been demonized to a ridiculous degree now that we have 2020 hindsight, right? Like, Tonya Harding should be off the hook a little bit now.
I give her a pass. All right, let's bring it around.
All right, Ace, good times as always. We'll be back with some more hot sports talk for you next week. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, good sports out. Good sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's back in stock at Amazon. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.